This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
My lifelong goal in life was, before I turned 60, I wanted to make six figures a year. That one day when I achieved, that would be a success that I beyond my imagination. And how that goal has increased to something much, much different.
Welcome back to the Color of Money podcast. I'm joined today with my awesome co-hosts, Bowman Keady and Emmerich Peace. And today we have a guest that is incredibly dynamic. He owns a market center with 1,100 agents in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He has his hands in property management, real estate team, investments. Gaurav does just about everything in the residential real estate space. And I wanted to have a conversation with him today about these ancillary businesses, about leadership, running a retail team, and there's something unique that he's doing with his agents, with investing with them as a retention play and also an opportunity to give back to those agents and help build wealth alongside him. So I'm excited for this podcast. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here as well.
Absolutely. Now, we were talking before we started here, Gaurav, and I want to tell us about the immigrant story, because I think that's a great place for us to start moving here, making, I think you said $4.75 an hour, to building the incredible empire that you now run and manage. And I mean, that's an incredible journey. Take us back to how that started and how we got to where we are today.
What we didn't discuss is that I still make $4.75 an hour.
He just found a way to create more hours.
That's correct. And that's through leverage. You know, I think that's what, you know, always happens as well. So I came in this country in 1997. I wanted to be the best computer science engineer the world has ever seen. And then 9/11 happened. I lost my job right out of college. Till that time, I was working as my first job was selling newspapers and lottery in a newsstand in the Center City, Philadelphia area, where I was making, you know, bare minimum wage to be able to save money to go and pay for college. I came to this country with almost zero money just about 28 years ago with my family. And that was an interesting part. I was working 7 days a week, about 77 hours a week, counting every dollar to make sure that I save enough money to be able to pay for one or two terms and then continue working to make the next. And then I started getting into real estate much later in my career. It wasn't by design. You know, I wanted to be more into computer science. When I lost my job, I had to figure something out. What to do, how to pay the bills. I got married to my high school sweetheart at the age of 22. And then tons of immigration issues, tons of challenges financially. And then I started my real estate career by coincidence, by joining a company that happened to be in real estate. And I was a computer science networking engineer in their office. And then I just started my journey from there, learning through the trades with people around me. But started very with humble beginnings. And that always stays with me.
What impact do you think that origin story or the beginnings has on how you operate today, now where you are?
Tons of gratitude and humble feeling. You know, when I go back and think about my journey, there have been moments when I can pinpoint, if that person didn't come in my life, I wouldn't have the next step. If that person didn't assist me or guide me or mentor, give me mentorship, I would not have the next step. There were people who wholeheartedly gave in to me by allowing me to take risks or take risks in me, and that helped me continue to grow. I think that is amazing how people help each other grow. And I feel, you know, being an immigrant for myself, I want to give back. I want to assist people. I never thought that I'll put it in perspective. My lifelong goal in life was, before I turned 60, I wanted to make six figures a year. Mm. That was my lifelong goal. That one day when I achieved, that would be a success that I beyond my imagination. And how that goal has increased to something much, much different. I'm very grateful for what I have been given in life. I want to allow other people to think as big. I just never thought that big. then others allowed me and showed me a path of thinking big. So as an immigrant, I never thought that you can own a big business. You can hire as many people as we do. You can make passive income and wealth in your life as much as I've been given opportunities. So I want others to see, and I want other immigrants in this country and other minorities to also know that nothing is impossible.
You're right. Everything is possible and you can achieve so many incredible things. But where did your mind start changing? Like, was it mentors? Was it classes you went to? I think on the other side of understanding that you have a lid is understanding that there's an incredible ocean out there that is untapped. How did you understand that there's so much more out there for you to go get and continue to tack on?
My parents. My dad came to this country without speaking a good English at the age of 46. I am 46 today. So imagining myself going to another country like Japan, where I don't speak the English, I don't know anybody, and I have to start all over again. You know, that grit that I saw in him, how to succeed, and then the nonstop effort that he was putting in, he just believed in himself. He just knew that if he'd put in the work with integrity, it's a matter of when and not if. So I followed the same path. The first week when I came in, I started working 77 hours a week because that's what I saw. And as I saw others, their stories, and I listened to them, understanding that hard work always pays off. There's no shortcuts. So all I knew was work hard with integrity, believe in yourself. It will happen. And it took me years. Like, honestly, I don't mind sharing something. I didn't make $100,000 until 8-9 years ago. And then there was a hockey curve that just happened. That just happened. Mm. Everything fell in place.
Let's kill that one right there. It didn't just happen. You put the work in.
It's the gradually then suddenly always talk about. It's grad success is geometric. It's not linear. It's the years. It's the hours that then show up in spades. Is there anything in that journey? Was there any time along that journey that you thought about giving up?
Every year, every month. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about all the success that we have, but we don't talk about, I had a soft toys teddy bear business that I started that didn't work. Mm-hmm. I started an IT business, website designing, that didn't work. I started a property management company in 2005 that didn't work. I started a brokerage company in 2007 that didn't work. Like, there's so many. I had investments that I lost money initially as well. Like, there's so many things that we don't talk about at all. It's because we see only the success. But behind that are all the experiences that helped me get better and better to be able to make the right decisions or better decisions that helped me grow. But, you know, I was married at 22 and I had 9 months to leave the country because of immigration not being there for me and for my family. I wanted to give up and, you know, go back to India faster so that I don't waste 9 months. Those months were the most toughest months of my life. I was in Hawaii on my honeymoon and I got a phone call from Unisys that I got laid off and I will not be able to afford my family. And at the age of 22, my wife had to go to college. I actually wanted to jump off the cliff that day. I asked my wife, let's just jump now and make it easier for both our families, because there's no way I can go back to my family and explain to them how I convinced them at the age of 22 to get us married, and I have no financial backing or immigration at this point. Thank God my wife was smarter than me. But those things are just what makes you not give up anymore, because you've been through those tough times.
And that gives me the chills even listening to that story, because it's, I mean, we all have those dark moments, and we all have those moments of feeling like quitting. And to your point, we do. When you get on stage, all we talk about is the successes and how great my business is. And no one asked the questions on, what about those dark, lonely nights? How many times, that was a great question, but how many times did you want to quit?
You'll get punched and you'll fall. It's the one that gets up becomes a champion. And always remember that. I have to get up again. I have to get up again.
It's interesting. We were talking yesterday. There's this quote that says that storms bring something out of people that calm seas don't. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we look at what we see, the picture that appears to be all done, but we don't see all the storms, all the things that folks have been through that are often, as you said, it's the lessons, it's the learnings, it's the things that make you who you are today.
when you talked about that, like Daniel said, I kind of got the chills because, like, is this saying, I don't look like what I've been through. You talk about, I keep getting back up. I keep getting back up. And then earlier you mentioned something, because I'm a huge relationship guy. And you talked about all of the people that helped you along the way. And that's a question, right? The relationships. How do you develop those strong relationships to get people to buy into what you really want them to do? Because in your success journey, it requires people. And you have to get people to buy into what. How does that work with you with relationships? How do you approach relationships to get people to do what you would like for them to do, to participate how you would like them to participate?
You know how we say, treat others the way you want to be treated. I think you respect others, and people can see through you very easily.
Mm-hmm.
In a very short span of time, it'll come through. So if I'm being genuine, and I just do everybody around me and my team, I will always have the same story. My story won't change. I will not lie. I will not make up events or facts or stories, because it's so hard to keep track of all the lies in your life. Mm-hmm. Just say it right the first time, and every single time, you'll never have to worry about what you said to somebody 10 years ago, because the facts won't change. Similarly, when others are around you, you tell them what you want and you give them back in return first, and you're being genuine to yourself and to them. Mm-hmm. If I can help and show gratitude to the people of what I can do for them, in times when I have nothing else to ask in return, one day when I am in the need, they will see that. And by love and passion, they will help me automatically. And I don't have to ask them or beg them, because they know who I am. And they know that they can trust me and expect me to be there for them at the times when they didn't ask me either. So that relationship is where true relationship gets built for long term. I'm best friends with people that employed me on day one. I own investment properties with the first person who gave me a job in my newsstand. I am investor with, my first real estate business was started with my boss that I quit to start a brokerage company. He invested in me and my brokerage company to give me the finances behind it. So every step of the way, each person that I worked with or worked for became my partners because they believed in me. But 7 years when I worked with them, I didn't give them a single reason ever to doubt my integrity or my hard work. So they wanted to work with me and believe in me at that. And that came from my dad. That's how he has lived his life.
Work hard with integrity and believe in yourself. Like I'm stealing that from you and putting it up for my agents, because that is what it takes to get the lift to get your business off the ground. Right? Work really hard, always keep integrity and believe in yourself and believe in that vision. Now, to stay in the lane of losses, I think what you talked about with the insurance company and the first time that you went to go build that and how that failed, can you talk a little bit about that story and what you learned when you think about taking on a joint venture, or you think about starting a new business of sorts?
Yeah, that was a property management business in 2005 that I started. And we got up to 50, 60, 70 units. And we were just trying to grow faster, did not understand the business as well. My mistake was that I was trying to do everything by myself. I should have used leverage or brought in experts around me, but every dollar was important. So I was trying to keep every one of them to pay the bills. And I realized that while I was doing that, I got to the point where we were making more mistakes and losing our respect in the industry or market or for property management. So we started losing clients faster than we were gaining them. And it was just too late. It was a bad business idea or bad business implementation, because today, after learning from that mistakes, we started investing the second round when we started a property management company. We hired more people. So my business partner told me something. He says, always go overdressed to the party. You never know when you need more support. You never know when you need to provide better service. So always stay ahead of the game. The money will come eventually. Let's just keep investing in the business. And that's what we did. The second round, we had 10 units and we had 1.5 employees in terms of the time they were dedicating. So we were losing money on day one, but we knew that if that service was there, what I learned last time, I had the units, but bad service, and the business didn't survive. Yeah. Well, let's try a different way. Provide better service, and we'll build up on the units. So that business didn't survive after 2 years, and now this business, after 10 years, we are 4,500 units in 10 states.
Wow.
Wow.
That's one of the things that I've said before. And of course, there's always a balance. You can't save your way to profitability. You have to be careful. Is it an expense or is it an investment? And so I love what you said about that. There's two different categories. A lot of times we say, well, I'm going to save this money, and you're trying to save your way to profitability. And then you didn't answer the question, is this an expense or is this an investment?
So true. And it's part of learning. And I didn't have the right person around me, or I did not look out for the right person who had the experience to teach me that. And then life taught me a lesson and I learned from it. But I didn't believe in giving up. I just realized that I did not do it the right way the first time. But I'm going to learn from it and do it again. And we'll do it better than anybody else this time.
Let's talk about the successes now. You have an incredible brokerage that you own, 1,100 agents in the Philadelphia area. You mentioned last month the brokerage, KW Empower, I believe, right?
That's correct.
Sold one out of every three houses in the city, which is an incredible market share. Congratulations to that.
Thank you.
What have you learned along the journey of building? I mean, 1,100 agents, and that, you now have deep relationships with every single one of them. But what have you learned along the journey of building such a big brokerage?
Leverage is key. Delegating is key. You're right. I don't know everybody. There was a time when I knew every agent's name, their families, mm-hmm. the kids, what they like, you know, when we were building with 5, 10, 20 unit agents. But then got to the point where it was becoming impossible. And that's when leverage came in. We have enough leadership in the company that somebody has that relationship with someone and everyone eventually. I don't have to be the bottleneck anymore. So my job is to create the platform and the opportunities for others to grow so that they can maintain those relationships and continue growing and adding value to the agents. Me becoming from a provider to a strategic advisor, that role started changing early on. And I saw that the faster I got myself out being a bottleneck and started bringing key people who were creating opportunities for themselves, they were building the ship faster and bigger than me, because I joke around, I only have 25 hours a day and 8 days a week. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I cannot create more time.
Mm-hmm.
But others can. And so that became a fact much earlier in my career that I need to rely on other people, finding the key people. And then it's easier for me to maintain the relationship with 20 people who are each now maintaining relationship with another 100 people. That became my mantra. How in every business, I find the right people. How do I create the right opportunities for them so that they can grow and build wealth, legacy for themselves and for their families?
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more.
Ah, I like that. I like that. That comes back to the whole relationship thing where, you know, you look for people who you can be in business with for longevity. And as long as you can provide them with an opportunity, they'll never leave you, because people leave people. And they leave other people for an opportunity. And you're making sure that you provide that opportunity so that they don't leave, which builds stability in your world.
I love the way you said it. And I'm thinking now in this conversation that the original relationship that I had with the person who gave me a job in the newsstand and became an investor with me, or my previous boss who became an investor with my brokerage company originally, they believed in me and allowed me to grow, which in return, I made them a lot of opportunities as well. I'm just realizing now, putting in words, which I believe I knew that, I was trying to do the same thing for others. Mm-hmm. How do I find the next Gaurav at every step of the way who's going to be able to make me a lot more opportunities as well? But I don't want that Gaurav to get out of my world. How do I keep them in my world?
Yeah.
So that we can grow together.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I'd love to hear a little bit about that transition to helping others grow in an industry like real estate, where it's a very transitory, you can pour into people and they up and go next door for the next shiny thing. Tell us a little bit about your mindset on developing others and keeping them in your world and how you've thought about that.
It's a tough world. And especially when, you know, think if I'm playing a chess game and the other person is playing against me, I'm playing a relationship game and they're playing a transactional game. It is very difficult to play that game with each other.
Yeah.
Because I keep pouring into them, and that's how I always believe, like, you keep pouring into them, and then somebody gets up and leaves and says, well, I got a better opportunity for me and my family, so I'm leaving for 5% of a commission split structure. And he's like, I give so much time and energy away from my family on a Saturday evening, away from dinner, so I can help you complete a transaction, or you're going through a emotional downturn, and I just poured into you, and you're leaving me for this? I was used to be miserable. I used to destroy my weekends, my evenings, my whole week, my business partners. She's like, it's okay. It's on them. And, you know, you stay the course. And I said, no, I failed. I failed them. You know, I failed them because they saw more value in that extra few percentage of income than what I was giving them. Maybe I'm not giving them enough. So that was such a tough time, Bo. And then I realized, you know, I'm playing a different game than them. I need to find people who play the same game with me. But if they want to play a transactional game, can I explain to them that I'm not going to play the same game with you? I'm going to stick to my game. I'm going to stick to my relationship game. I'm going to stick to my integrity game. I'm going to stick into a giving back game, and which in return has to make me some financial benefit as well for me to be able to continue paying the expenses and creating opportunities for others. But that's not the only game I'm going to play. Anybody who says it's not about money at all, I think it's lying. They're lying. Mm-hmm. But if it's only about money, it's not the game I'm going to play.
How do you shake that out? What questions are you asking? What personality traits are you seeing to get that?
Their track record. If they're leaving somebody to come to me for 5%, they're going to leave me to leave for somebody else for 5%.
Yeah.
So what are the reasons why they're leaving? If they didn't have enough opportunities in their world and they're looking for that, I'm a right match. But if they want just to split for extra few percentage, I know if you're coming to me for that, you'll leave me for that. Then that's not what you want. So over a period of time, sometimes, but it's a bigger business, you can't just push everybody away. If somebody wants to just be a transactional person in your team, then we had to find out, is there room for that person to stick around for just that? And then in return, I'm not going to emotionally be 100% vested emotionally. I will have enough resources in the company to be invested in you to provide you what you're looking for, but at least I know that's what the game you want to play, and I'm in it with you because that's a good business decision, but I'm not going to cry the day you leave me for 5% because that was at some point expected going to happen.
I love that framing. This, what game are you playing? We've had a conversation a lot that says, what's your currency? What's your currency? What's your currency? Similar conversation, because I've learned that oftentimes I might be playing a net worth, build your assets, you know, intergenerational wealth game. And that's the currency I was going for. But maybe the person I was talking to, you know, their currency was growing their Instagram following, and that was worth more to them. And they were actually making a decision based on that currency. And I used to be so upset about that. I was like, this is wrong. I said, no, actually, people have the right to choose their currency. They have the right to choose their game. But I think too many people in this business end up playing a transactional game and wondering why they're not achieving the same level of success when the real people playing for keeps or playing long are playing a very different game.
You know, we say sometimes we want more for people than they want for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have so many people around me, I'll say, you know, if you did this, it can do this for you. But then why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you going and reading about this? Why aren't you going to the mastermind? Why aren't you asking the question, why did you sell that property when you could have bought it? And I kept doing it, I kept doing it, I kept doing it, and I got so frustrated at times. And then I realized, well, you're right. You know, they have a right of playing the game they want. They have a right of the currency that they want to achieve. So can I mention one of the things that I know that, you know, you and I talked about in that mastermind?
Yeah.
In this conversation. I kept asking people and saying, why aren't you buying properties? You know, remember in our conversation, there was a time when I wanted to make six figures and that's the best I was going to make. When that happened, I started looking back and saying, well, now what? I already made that money. What am I going for? What am I achieving for? So then I started saying to myself, well, now you got to make sure that you have that all the time. Mm. You can't lose that. So first I was running towards something. Then I started running away from, I can't lose what I have. Mm. So how do I protect it? What if something happens to me? What if my health goes bad? God forbid something happens to me personally. You know, what if my opportunities go away? What if my partnership doesn't work out? I became a worrier like all the time. Like all those things can happen and I don't want to lose what I wanted all my life. So then the concept of crash art coming into me was about passive income. well, if something happens to me, then I can't leave this for my family. If I can't leave this for my family, then does it really exist? Then it's only a job that is making me a salary. It's not a business that I build for legacy to leave behind. So how do I protect something? So I started having this conversation with few of my agents I felt were thinking like me. And then I started asking them, I was like, why aren't you buying properties? All of the properties that you're selling, what did you start buying them? They're good deals. And they said, I don't have the money. I said, if you don't have the money, go borrow it. Say, well, I only have limited resources I can tap into, so I can't go and buy everything that I'm selling to investors. And they said, why aren't you buying properties? So I can't find enough. I'm too busy behind the desk helping and running the business. I don't have time to go find the opportunities. So I looked at this and said, well, I have a lead problem. You have a leverage problem. So what if it was both combined? And I came up with this idea of, and I said, you want to create wealth. You just don't know how to. So here's an idea. You find a property. I'll put up the money. So let's say you buy a property for $200,000. We'll go and borrow money from the bank. So we'll go put down 25%, which is $50,000. And since you are not bankable, I'll go borrow $150,000 from the bank. But because you are creating an opportunity that I'd never had before, instead of paying you a commission, I'm going to make you a 50% partner. So that'll help you create the wealth for you in the future. Well, the second question came about was, well, I don't have the $25,000 for my 50% partnership. Then I said, okay, that's a problem. But how about I put the $50,000 on your behalf, 25 from me, 25 for you. You can borrow the $25,000 for your share from me at market rate. So I'll become a bank for your initial investment. But I knew that the asset was protecting my investment. And the person that I believed in is also somebody I trust. So I started investing the whole $50,000 for them. And then there were times when we couldn't bank the money or borrow money and we had to borrow it in the future. So I started borrowing, putting the whole $200,000 into it as well. So at any given time, I was able to find a solution for my partner to say, you can go into this with zero money and I'll help you create 50% equity in it. And then we can get into the details of, you know, how does cost segregation work? That is tax benefits. How does accelerated depreciation work? Forget the appreciation. Forget the principal reduction. All those things are added benefits that we understand as real estate professionals. But then I started buying 1, 2, 4, 10, 15. I started buying many properties with individual agents in my team where they are in for zero money. And in about 2-3 years of the time, as we were able to refinance, get my money back, they basically became 50% equity owners of those assets for zero money. And then that makes me feel like I'm helping them create generational wealth. And that's a contribution that I'm very proud of, which I don't think everybody is able to think at that perspective. So I'm happy with owning 50% of it because that's an opportunity that I would have never had without them. And I'm glad that I was able to show them a path of how to create wealth for themselves and not being greedy to say, well, I want 90, 95%. To me personally, that would be a wrong thing to do, but equal value, equal opportunity, and you know, building something together, because that creates that partnership for life. You know, we're building something together equally.
How many of those do you own with your agents?
About 20 addresses. I started about 3 years ago.
Wow.
Some are multifamily, 8 units, 6 units, yeah. Duplexes, single family, you know, so 20 addresses, like 40 plus properties.
What part are they responsible for and what are you responsible?
They have to find the asset. I take care of all the financials. I manage the back end financially. So, my team will manage the bookkeeping. And I have to manage the property as well because then I can keep a strong control. I cannot have a slumlord strategy around it. So I maintain how it's being done. Anything that needs to happen to go actually to the site, physical time being involved, it's on them. So they have to keep an eye on the reports and the banking, which I do anyways. But if a question comes in for a repair, it has to be approved. They have to go to the property. So they have to put in the sweat equity into it. I don't have time. So I'm giving them the leverage of money, but they have to give me the leverage of time.
I feel like you didn't do this with the intention of agent retention. You did this truly with the intention of helping others create wealth and build with them. And as a byproduct, you have very loyal people that want to continue being in business with you.
Because Emmerich said, right, people stay for people. What are they looking in those people? They're looking for, do you have the best interest for me? And are you creating value enough for me? And you're thinking beyond a transaction. I couldn't show better than that, that I'm relationship-based for life. And then I started showing to them and saying, listen, if you buy 10 properties in the next 5 years worth $200,000 each, and you own an equity of about $100,000, I got you $1 million worth of equity in the next 5 years. How many more can you go buy? The balance sheet just changes for them. The net worth just changes for them.
And I'm guessing all of it's tied through operating agreements and...
Absolutely, absolutely.
Really clear who's doing what and whatnot, right?
It's the right way to do it. You know, I can buy them out at a fair value, which is predefined if they ever wanted to get out. Similarly, if I decide to sell, it's bad boy clauses are set into it to make sure that they're protected as well. You know, I always worry about, I have my integrity, but God forbid something happens to me and whoever may come and take over my LLC,
right?
Would they have the same integrity unless it's on paper? So might as well put it on paper so they're always protected if that was a real goal. And if that was it, then why are you afraid of putting it on paper?
I think that is a massively important business perspective, that there is no integrity if people aren't willing to document it. It's a very interesting business perspective, especially in our industry. So many times, oh, I'll promise you this, I'll tell you this, I'll do this. It's a big problem when people are seeking opportunities for a lot of our ambitious, driving agents and business people. And I don't know how many times in the course of my career I've seen people super upset because there was maybe a misunderstanding or something changed, like you said, and they operated on good faith, and good faith wasn't documented. And it's an interesting...
So true.
I feel like that's a lesson I continue to get into my career, that even as far along as we are, we've operated on good faith in many cases. And someone's coming back and saying, well, okay, well, that wasn't the document, so we don't have to do it anymore.
That's the crazy part right there, because you say, well, and I've heard this before, well, I stand behind what I say. Well, you stand behind what you remember, what you said as according to that particular situation. So I love that idea too about integrity, and the document is the integrity. If you're willing to say it, then you should be willing to write it and stand behind it and memorialize it.
When people say, trust me, I say, I do trust you. I just don't trust the next person who's going to come behind you. God forbid something happens to you. So if you trust me and love me, then whatever you're saying, just put it on paper so we both protect it. Because I know your intention is not to do anything wrong to me. I just don't trust that attorney behind you. God forbid that it may come in, because that's not what you want from me, right? I know you don't want that for me. And similarly, I will do the same thing for you as well, because I don't trust the, not that we don't trust attorneys, it's just a third party that may not do the right thing. Yeah. I cannot control that.
And you can't control untimely demise. I've been through that before, and it's not fun. So, yeah, I'm real clear about documentation.
Now, Gaurav, what's next?
I ask that question to myself a lot of times. What's next? And you know what I'm realizing is that next is, I have a number in mind, that I have a lifestyle today that my daughter, who's now 11 and a half years old, and my wife, who works very hard in a corporate job. And, you know, life has become too complicated with a lot of the partnerships and businesses that is around, you know, to make sure, making sure that that's documented, cleaned up, an exit strategy out of my life. You know, as compared to a strategy of a partnership, like, you know, what happens if something happens to me? Because I'm the one who created all this chaos in our lives with all the partnership businesses. So it's my responsibility to make sure that I protect it. And then what would happen in a passive income scenario? You know, God forbid, you know, I'm still here, but I'm not able to work. Or I'm still here and I don't want to work. So now the question is, can I create a passive income to support the lifestyle? So it's all, the whole game is about passive income at this point for me.
Yeah.
Every single decision is being made. So protect what you have, create passive income for what you generate. No, it's a game.
Yeah.
Once again, is can I create what I have today without putting in the time? And can that business make me the money, or time make me the money, or others make me the money, succeed through others? But as I'm doing it, how do you rely and trust the other people? That means you have to find the next goal of every step of the way. What are those opportunities? How can we be creative? How do you keep them motivated? And then helping them understand and realize, how are you going to leave a legacy behind? What does generational wealth look for you as I'm trying to do for me? People say, oh, I want to go retire on a beach. You know how lonely it's going to be if you're the only one on the beach? So I want to go retire with 100 people that I help become millionaires together on the beach. Because I am going to build this journey with them, through them, because of them. I want to enjoy it with them, not without them.
I love that. Now, as we wrap up, what's the one thing you want to leave with our listeners?
Understand the value of what real estate can create for you over time. That is where generational wealth will come in. Take the time to educate yourself and understand. Real estate is a very unique and a fortunate industry for us. You know, cost segregation is a blessing. Look into investment properties and how that money can grow for you for long term. And never give up an opportunity away because you think you don't have the money. Find the opportunity, money will always come. And if you don't find the money, find somebody who knows how to find money, because what you have for your opportunities for investments is very unique. The whole world is looking for that. Don't discount it. And then don't sell it for just a pure commission. Think how you can create wealth through that while you're helping others do that as well.
Retire on the beach together. The people that matter most. I love that.
Save a hut for me. Save a hut for me. Coming.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Gaurava. I appreciate the conversation again, the humility. You're a special human, and I appreciate our relationship and joining us and dropping some gems for our listeners today, sir.
I appreciate that very much. This is a blessing and an honor to be here as well. Thank you very much.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.